RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you have discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. So this week, we're going to basically start exactly where we left off last week with the bloody body of Thea crawling across the floor trying to get to that telephone. That was,
yeah. Well, now wait a second.
Yes,
I don't think we're starting exactly where we left off last week. Where's our audience? Nobody's watching me. I don't hear anything in the background. Oh, that's good. You got to throw a random R2-D2 in there too. I'm missing you. I'm not sitting right next to you this week as we record.
I've got a cat staring at me like, hey man, what are you up to?
Well, that actually will probably be similar to what we did last week. I had a great time recording with you live and in front of everybody. That was definitely a new experience for me, recording in front of a live, somewhat studio audience.
Yeah. I would like to do that more. Time and tide kind of keep us from each other. So
you're right. Well, I do have an idea on that. Actually, I'm going to ask Ray Palmer if I can borrow his jet periodically, and I'll just, take a quick jaunt out to your area. Just hang out, to record. That'd be fun.
I was going to swing over to the set of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and see if Gordo would teleport me.
That would be
back and
faster
forth.
And cheaper.
that would definitely be faster and cheaper. So. Well, unfortunately, we don't have a live audience like we did last week at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, but hopefully there's not a lot of noise in the background of this particular episode, so I think that'll work out as well.
And I did want to say it was great to meet listeners out there. I would just be standing in a line, and someone would come up and say hi, recognize me, and ask for some buttons, and we'd maybe take a quick snapshot or something. So it was great to just meet people out there. I had a lot of fun.
I did too. A number of people came up, and they may not have recognized me by looking at me, but I had a number of people who were walking by and they heard me talking and were like, oh, wait. Because they recognize my voice, which is, it's pretty cool. Unfortunately, though, when somebody recognizes you by your voice, and they go, oh, aren't you Jay? As soon as I open my mouth to say no, that kind of confirms it right there. Yeah. So you can look like somebody and pretend to not be that person, I guess. But
I continue to tell myself that they recognized me from my incredibly Stephen Amell ripped abs that I have.
Oh yeah, the ones you got, the ones you bought and at the show to wear, right?
Yeah, exactly, right. Yeah, it was a show special.
Do you find your wife ever recognizes you by your voice? She goes, oh, wait, you're on that podcast, right?
Yeah, yes. I find my wife tends to ignore my voice a lot of times, so it's that's all right. All right. Well, we can actually talk about Arrow now, since it's an Arrow podcast, I suppose.
Okay. So why don't we take a little dip here and tell us what I'm just going to ease back into this hot tub here, and why don't you tell me what episode we're doing this week?
Okay. All right. You got to go slow, so just the temperature, it you adapt to the temperature, right? So just be careful.
Okay.
And don't stay in too long.
I am the prune.
Do you suppose there's like a little knob, that is on a timer, and the bubbles go off after
for
a while?
The Lazarus pit?
Yeah, you have to get out of the Lazarus pit to turn the bubbles back on, or make somebody else do it. Anyway, I don't know. That just occurred to me.
Sorry.
All right, let's talk about this episode. This was episode 20 of season 3, The Fallen. aired on April 22nd, 2015, written by Wendy Miracle and Oscar Valderrama, and it was directed by Antonio Negrete. Well, now that Ra's al Ghul has used Thea's life as an incentive for Oliver to be the newest heir to the demon, Oliver, excuse me. You can't highlight Oscar when I'm going to say Oliver. Oliver is left with no other choice. He must put Thea in the Lazarus pit and stay with the League. Felicity's not happy with this plan.
Absolutely not.
No. She, Diggle, and Malcolm take Ray Palmer's jet to Nanda Parbat. I want to talk about Nanda Parbat. dip Thea in the magic hot tub. So, you know, with all these emotions flying around, Felicity and Oliver, they finally give in to their feelings. You know, it's just a special time in a boy's life and a girl. And they get down to some consummating. This week on a very special Arrow.
Darling, I can't get enough of your love.
Oh, yes. What if they'd play the Cupid song in the background during that scene? That would have been horrible. Okay, now I just got it stuck in our head again. Sorry about that. Now, despite some good times, she's still not going to accept Oliver's fate. So she does what any respectful girlfriend would do. You know, she drugs him. And then they, you know, tries to escape with everybody. All this it's really pretty pointless, though, because Oliver's not going anywhere. So what in the name of Al-Sahim can be next for Team Arrow? Nanda Parbat or Nanda Parbat?
it's you know, some people say Raj, some people say Raish. You know.
It depends on what part of the League of Assassins organization you're
right.
from.
Right. Are you from the Northern League or the Southern League?
Okay. I got you. All right. That makes sense.
Also, and as you say, what in the name of Al-Sahim can be next? Well, the name of Al-Sahim. That is the answer to your query.
Oh, that can be next. Okay.
Will all be revealed next week. So, well, before we get on to the episode, we do have a little bit of news here. There's been a lot of talk, and some of it here on this particular show, about the Flash Arrow spinoff, and that's getting really difficult to say all the time. Flash Arrow spinoff. Yeah, it's now being referred to as Legends of Tomorrow. That is at least according to a Variety report. It was also mentioned in the shorthand as just Legends. During a panel at Calgary Expo that John Wesley Shipp was part of from The Flash, and I think also I think John Barrowman was there, if I'm not mistaken. So look forward to more information about that. I have heard such things as it is limited to 13 episodes, and they haven't cast. Oh yeah, they did cast somebody new. They just cast a character that I've never heard of earlier in the week. It was like...
The prune, was it?
No, it was not the prune.
Oh.
It was like Jay Jackson or something like that, I think is the character's name.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm just not sure who he is supposed to be. So I'm just seeing if I can find a note. Yeah, it's Franz Drama joins the spinoff as Jay Jackson, a, quote, former high school athlete whose pro career was derailed by injury, now making ends meet as an auto mechanic. He will come to have a surprising affiliation to the Star Labs crew. Hmm. Now, what's interesting is they were looking for a African-American actor to round out the cast. That's what they had said they were looking for. And people were like, oh, maybe it's going to be Static Shock. But this description sounds very, very much like Cyborg from the Teen Titans.
Wow, that would shock me. Well, no pun intended. That would surprise me tremendously if it was Cyborg, because Cyborg's going to be in. Is it his own movie or just Justice League?
His own movie, but also in Batman v Superman.
Oh, jeez.
Which Flash may actually show up in as well. Who knows? That movie is so packed full of stuff right now.
It is. And a new trailer has arrived for that.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Anyway.
A lot of stuff going down in the comic universe these days.
I got to tell you, I'm 100% sold on DC's television plan right now. I'm enjoying this. Movies yet to be seen. Not really doing it for me there. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. And, you know, this podcast is dedicated to one of the TV shows. So that's what we're going to be continuing to focus on.
Excellent.
Now, this next piece of news might be a little bit spoilery. Maybe not. People may have figured out that this character will be coming back. But, well, let's just say that there's an actor named Colton Haynes, and he will be returning to the show before. Well, you may not know who that is.
That was okay. All right. Well, there you go. Thanks for covering it up a little bit for those.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to be a little opaque. He will be returning to the show before the end of the season.
To me, this was three
episodes.
Yeah. This was revealed by Mark Guggenheim and he even said, I don't have a huge hunger to keep it a secret. So I think it's not intended to be a shocking surprise. So
no, it's just to have closure, I think.
Okay, but then again, I have said that about other things that people were very offended that I spoiled. So sorry if that was a big spoil for you. But hey, you know, it's coming up soon, and you'll see what happens. I'm sure there'll be other shocking things that we didn't expect in that episode.
Sure. And I guess according to Mark Guggenheim, they always knew that Colton would be in seasons 2 and 3. They had signed him on for a 2-year contract. So, you know, they would like to have him come back, but it's not that they were just writing him out to write him out. It's part of their contract negotiation stuff that's set up. I guess he had come off of Teen Wolf and didn't really want to take part in another weekly show. He wanted to take it easy for a little while. And Mark said, hey, come play with us. And so he did and had a great time and was glad that he had joined on. Obviously, he's reached a whole new group of fans, which is surprising because I can't believe Teen Wolf keeps getting renewed, but my wife seems to like it.
Is he still on Teen Wolf?
No. He was just that first season, I guess. I don't know what – I don't really know anything about the show other than it was based off of a funny film. And it's in its third season or something like that. So,
is anybody else coming back? I feel like we've lost a lot in this last few episodes.
Yeah, I mean, some of the other characters that we've seen this season will be back. Certainly for the next within the next 3 episodes, I think.
Really?
So.
Okay. Well, I heard Mark Guggenheim announced somebody else has survived.
Somebody else has survived.
Yes, if you can think back to somebody that met their demise a little bit earlier at the hands of Captain Lance. Well, at least at the hands of one of his, one of his men, was the Fern in the Arrow Cave.
Oh my gosh! Yes, that is true. That was like 2 weeks ago, I think.
It was. Oh, but people were very upset about this. This was the Fern that Felicity gave Oliver way back in, episode 1, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's been in the background, but somebody knocked it off. I think that was symbolic.
Episode 1 of, I think, this season. I don't think it was episode 1. It was episode 1 of this season.
I think you're right. Okay, but that's, I was just reading. but anyway, fans were very upset about this. I thought it was a good symbol of what was going on in that episode. But
it was great.
So Mark Guggenheim told everybody that he would bring it back if they would help somebody. So this seems to be a very worthy trend with the people on this show. You know, Stephen Amell has a lot of charity work that he does.
Mm-hmm.
Some other people have been doing charity work with the attention that they're getting from Arrow, and now Mark Guggenheim is trying to help a young lady named Savannah who was born with some issues that affected her arms. or at least one of her arms, I can see. And she really wants to be an archer. You know, she knows about the Hunger Games and Disney's movie Brave. And she got she just became obsessed with archery. But, you know, she has this problem with her arm. She was born without a left hand. And so it's a struggle for her. But if you go to her GoFundMe page that Mark Guggenheim was trying to support, you can see a picture of her shooting a bow and arrow with her teeth. It's amazing. It looks like something Wow. Green Arrow would do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, I don't know, you know, just the strength that it takes to pull back a bow, because it looked like it's a compound bow of some kind. I mean, I can't imagine doing that with your teeth. Just, oh my God, that's got to hurt.
Yeah. So she's really good. So anyway, she wants to enter this competition, an archery competition, which costs $15,000. I'm not sure what kind of archery competition that is, but, you know, she's really dedicated to this. And so they were trying to raise some money. So Mark Guggenheim said he would raise the plant if you would raise the money. So, they did achieve their goal. They got, right now they're up to $16,930.
Awesome.
You can actually still donate. So, and so if you, if you would like to see this plant being raised, from the Lazarus pit. Yes, it survived. But you know what? It's never going to be the same. You know that.
I know it has changed. It by the way, it does have a name too, which I think is hilarious. It's Yao Fern. So, you can find the story. I think it's on Mark Guggenheim's tweet?
His Tumblr.
Is it a tweet?
His Tumblr. He probably tweeted about it too, it's markguggenheim.tumblr.com. You can find it there. So,
yep, you can also search for Yao Fern on the observationdeck.io9.com and see it listed on there as well. So,
right. All right, wow. Well, congratulations to the fern for coming back. We've been worried.
Yeah. All right. Well, boy, I'm just going to be thinking about that fern all night now. That's, you told me about that right before we started recording, and I'm like, "You're kidding me? What?" So.
The video is hilarious. There's not even really that much to it, but just the idea of the fern.
The fact that they
the
shot
Lazarus
it, thing. Right? They shot. It's like, okay, first unit wrap, second unit, we need you to shoot this fern coming out of the pit. So,
I'd like to think Stephen Amell was there in the background, looking worried.
All right. So, well, let's get into talking a little bit about The Fallen, which is this week's shocking episode. Maybe not shocking, but very emotional episode. Lots of emphasis on characters and their history and the overarching theme. I think you'll probably agree with me on this, Josh, is sacrifice or personal sacrifice. There's a lot of that going on. So I kind of like to look into that. And it also continues some of the themes for the season, which we've been just talking about since, you know, way back in September last year, September, October, about identity. And Oliver looking for his identity and everything like that. So why don't we start going down some of these characters? And I think probably the most important one would be looking at Oliver in terms of this episode. So just in terms of the present day portions, I want to look at the flashbacks kind of as a separate piece. I don't feel that they necessarily relate to the main story.
Anything?
Well, yeah, we can look at the, yeah, yes.
Yeah, we'll talk
and
about
also
them.
Let's, yeah, let's just talk about them separately at the end in their own little segment for just 30 seconds. but in this one, Oliver continues to show show how much he cares for those around him and, especially his last family member, Thea. And he gives up everything for her in this episode. I mean, this is his lowest point in his character arc this season, where he kind of lays himself bare. You know, Ra's al Ghul has been pressuring him all, well, the last half of the season, or maybe the last third of the season here, to become Ra's al Ghul, and Oliver keeps, you know, saying, no, I don't want to do it, until we get to this point where he is just, where Ra's has finally pushed Oliver as far as Oliver can go, and that's basically by killing his sister.
Yeah. You said he was at his lowest point, and I think Stephen Amell did a really good job of portraying that in the hospital, right when Diggle and Felicity show up, and he's just sitting there in that chair, and he looks so defeated, just so beside himself with failure. Like, there's nothing else I can do. I mean, there's nothing, you know? I mean, he really thinks she's going to die, and so, yeah, I thought that was a really good scene that really illustrated how far he's fallen. Oh, fallen. Oh, I just realized.
Oh, look
that.
At that.
I really didn't even think about that.
Well, I mean, for him, it's a foregone conclusion, and that, you know, of what he has to do to, you know, what his next step can be, because basically, Ra's has shut off every other avenue for Oliver. I mean, he's just put up these walls and blocked him from making any other play, and just I worn him down as well. I really just got that sense from Steven's acting.
The other thing is, it didn't even seem that hard for Ra's. Do you think? I mean, for Ra's al Ghul to get him to this point, it didn't even seem to take all that much effort.
I feel like it was a lot of effort. I mean, he's had to organize a number of things within the league, you know, and pull some strings with using the league within the city. So, you know, you look at it, he's orchestrated the league to go out and start killing people dressed as Oliver, you know, turned Captain Lance, turned the city against him, and basically just put a lot of self-doubt in Oliver's head about all of this, forced Roy out of Team Arrow, and then kills Thea. I mean, he makes it look, Ra's al Ghul makes it look easy, I guess.
Right. Or which is not, what I meant. That's what I meant.
Not, and sorry, now that you've said that, I'm going to change what I said, but I was going to go with effortless, actually. It's I don't know that it was easy, but he makes it look effortless because, I mean, this is his job, right? I mean, as the head of the demon, this is, you know, the machinations of these events that he sets up. I mean, that's kind of what he does, right?
It's just, do you think that was on his resume when he was first starting? You know, I'm very good at human relations, and also destroying people's future. Yeah, so
that'd be good.
So Oliver's lost pretty much everything now, and we talked about that last week too.
Right, and Stephen Amell does just a great job of. He must have been exhausted when they got finished shooting this episode, because just the emotional toll that acting like this must take on him. Between, like you said, the scenes in the hospital, which were really touching, the scene with Malcolm talking about, you know, what Oliver has to do, and basically forcing Malcolm to come with, the scene on the airplane where he's kind of explaining everything to Felicity, that, you know, he relates the time that he was back in Starling City while he was on the island, not on the island. And I'm still not completely clear why he decided to bring that particular story up, other than just to, you know, kind of reveal something else to her that he hasn't shared up to that point. Trying to make a connection, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. You're trying. When really it was because, so they could use that flashback in this episode. But,
well, they didn't actually flashback to that scene. I mean, they just talked about the scene where he killed the drug dealer.
That's true. Yeah, it wasn't
episode
in that.
Episode 12 or something like that, I think.
Yeah, okay.
But, and then when Oliver, you know, they bring Thea back, and Oliver is told by Ra's al Ghul that, you know, while we've talked about Oliver searching for his identity, Oliver is then told that he basically has to renounce himself. And you know, basically be born again. That's the aspect of you know, or the what do you call it? The ritual for joining the League of Assassins. He gets branded, and then is supposed to purge all vestiges of Oliver Queen from himself. So he, I mean, talk about personal sacrifice. I mean, he is giving up everything. And when people say they've lost everything, I mean, have you lost your name? Have you lost your identity? Oliver's going that far. So I'm really interested to see, because I don't think this is going to stick, right? I mean, it's the show's called Arrow. I don't think that this is going to last, but you know, he's fallen in with a cult. How does he get out of this now in three episodes?
Yeah, that's, I don't think he's going to get out of it in three episodes. I think that will be something that has to do with the finale.
You think they're going to carry this over into season four in some
fashion? Yeah, possibly. Or, yeah, I don't know. I would think they'd probably resolve it, but it might have some implications on how he gets back once...
Once season four starts. Arrow?
Right.
Hmm.
I had a... Well, we can talk about that in a little bit. That's kind of a wild idea about that. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But we can keep talking about personal sacrifices.
Oh, okay. All right. So the other person that I thought did a really good job and talked about sacrifice, or speaking of sacrifice, was Maceo. And in the present day, he... is trying to explain to Diggle that, you know, just look at all this opulence that will come with Oliver becoming Ra's al Ghul. And it's like, I mean, Diggle's not fooled by people flashing, you know, fancy things at him. And he kind of lays it out for him, for Maceo, and basically, you know, just says, you know, you've got it wrong. I mean, you know, what have you ever had basically to sacrifice? And Maceo confirms the story that we've been trying to figure out where they're going in the flashback, and basically that's his son has died, or his son died in his arms, and you know he feels like, I guess, like a failure as a father, so he sacrificed his life to join the League, and I guess, you know, is estranged from Tatsu over this. I'm still kind of unclear, not that I necessarily even care at this point what happens between the two of them, because we've seen enough of whether they connect the final dots. I don't know that that's important. But he also, you think he's setting up a lot of sacrifice here, because he keeps helping Oliver, which I find really interesting, right? So he basically keeps defying Ra's al Ghul, doesn't he? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, he has maybe two or three times in present days in this season.
Right. Yeah, between rescuing him from the hill, he slayed some of the League men that were coming to find Oliver when he was in the cabin that they were healing him in. He says he killed three members in this episode. And I don't know, for the League of Assassins, Ra's al Ghul's rules seem to be a little flexible.
Yeah, well, he is the boss, so I mean, he can...
True.
But yeah, I thought of that same thing. As he was forgiving, I guess we shouldn't really call him Maceo.
Yeah, Sarab.
As he was forgiving Sarab for, like, you just killed some guys. You just had a lapse. It's okay. I don't know. Yeah, it seemed a little out of character for him. Or maybe not. I mean, he let Oliver live after he had supposedly killed him. He didn't blame Sarah. He didn't blame Thea for killing Sarah. You know, I mean, so he seems to be able to rationalize his decisions pretty well.
Yeah, but... I don't know. It's
I'm not excusing it. It's just
no,
at least they give a reason for it.
There's just, I guess there's something about that that I just can't. There's something that I feel like is kind of there that maybe we've been exposed to that I can't put my finger on that is an important clue about what else may be going on. And maybe there's nothing else going on. I mean, maybe it's as obvious as it appears to be. But
So you think he might be doing it for a different reason other than just forgiving him. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So
every
time he's done it, every time Ra's al Ghul has forgiven Sarab, he's done so in front of Oliver. And there was the female, well, the apparently female assassin that had a misstep when Oliver was there previously in the, I think it was in the Choice episode.
Right, where they were training.
Right, when they're training and this assassin has a misstep and Ra's al Ghul comes over to correct them. And you think he might kill this person for having the mistake, but he instructs them as to what to do better. Now, of course, that would have been a better first scene to see. But the first thing we ever really saw with Ra's al Ghul is watching these assassins come and try to attack him. And when one of them has, and I think they were killing each other, actually. And then when one has a misstep, Ra's al Ghul, you know, asks them to take their own life, basically. So, you know, he can easily go through a lot of different henchmen very quickly. Yet when Oliver's there, he's trying to put the best spin, I guess, on the League. You know, it's like, oh, you know, we only kill when necessary or whatever, but
it's, you know, like he's trying to sell it to Oliver. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he is. And we've, you know, I feel like we've seen behind the curtain, behind the veil. And, you know, when no one else is watching, and then when Oliver's watching, his behavior is different. Ra's al Ghul's behavior is different. So I just feel there's, like, this is all like a test of some kind.
Interesting.
I just don't know. I mean,
that hadn't occurred to me. I like that idea. I like that. That's kind of cool. I hadn't thought that he was maybe doing something more. What's the word? You know, tricky, I guess. You know, but remember, I'm thinking of this as you're talking to me. I said a while back that I thought it had something to do with Nyssa,
right,
and him wanting Nyssa to be the leader and testing her in some way, you know?
Right. Yeah, I remember that discussion. I mean, I think that's a really interesting thought because, of course, you make it look like you're going to go with your another choice, so to push your real choice into, you know, are they going to stand up for themselves? Because if they're not going to fight for this, which Nyssa seems really not to be doing. She's, I think last time we saw her, she's wandering around Starling City training Laurel.
Yeah, they're just having coffee and hanging out. She's
yeah, hanging out in the alley and stuff.
Having some girl time, you know.
But, you know, I mean, maybe he was trying to push Nyssa to see how far, you know, how much she really wanted this. And maybe it's evident that, oh, she doesn't really care enough to fight for it in some fashion, and she just kind of gives up. It's like, well, that's not the person you want running the League either. So
I think she'll be back before the end of the season. Just because we haven't seen her doesn't mean she hasn't been interested in it. There may be some other stuff going on there. So I think she will be back before the end of this season.
Are you willing to bet money on that, sir?
Ooh, money. How about a pin? Can I bet you a free pin?
Oh, pin would be great. So,
ooh, I'll have to think of something. I'd make a wager with you.
Okay. I mean, not that I disagree with you. I think she's coming
back,
too.
All right. Well, we don't have to wager.
I just, okay.
You're like, oh, what did I do?
Standard wager, Winthrop? $1.
Yes. okay.
Yeah.
Who's next? Who's next in sacrifices?
Well, since we're talking about the League, I think Ra's al Ghul, whatever his name was before that, we probably will never know, because of course he has completely disavowed his past, though he does reveal to Oliver that many lifetimes ago he had been married and had
he revealed that to Felicity, not Oliver.
I'm sorry. Thank you. He revealed that he had a family, a wife, and a son and a daughter. And I'm assuming this would be the daughter prior to Nyssa.
Yes, I would think so.
Right, because if it was many lifetimes ago. It's almost kind of like a Highlander sort of thing. I got a little Highlander vibe from his story that he was telling. But, you know, was it a member of the League of Assassins or the previous Ra's al Ghul or somebody, you know, came to him and offered, you know, either we'll, you know, you come off and join us or we'll kill your entire family. It's like, yeah, he's kind of a wuss. I mean, he didn't fight for anything. He just kind of ran away. Now, granted, it's to save his family. And that is definitely a lot to give up. But I kind of have to agree with Felicity in this, that, you know, he really didn't.
He gave up too easily.
Yeah, he didn't try to do anything. I'll come with you and then train with him for a little bit to be able to go back and, you know, save his family at a later date. I mean, maybe he did. Maybe, you know, we'll find out more about that. But
yeah, we don't maybe know the whole story. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, based on the story he told, it did sound like he decided to give up and just go become the new Ra's al Ghul. But I don't know. You know, even the Dread Pirate Roberts came back and, you know, got the love of his life. So, you know.
It is interesting you bring up Dread Pirate Roberts, because I believe I think it was Felicity that said that Thea was mostly dead at one point in this episode. I did not catch that until my second viewing, but there was a nice little Princess Bride reference there. So.
But he did show that, and I think that story was to illustrate another aspect of sacrifice in this whole scenario here. And in his sacrifice, it's different than Oliver. He didn't fight back. He didn't give everything before finally deciding to make the decision, which is exactly what Oliver did. And look what happened to Oliver. Oliver lost everything.
True. Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe those are the two extremes. You either do what they ask you the first time and you just lose everything, but, you know, nobody has to die.
Yeah, or you lose everything and you still end up, you know, working for having them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then Felicity had to make a sacrifice. Unfortunately, had to, like, kiss Oliver a lot and kind of take his shirt off. I mean, that was just
was that the sacrifice?
That is sacrificing a lot.
Yes. I wanted to sacrifice with her after that scene, too. But,
well,
you know, she had some sacrifices in this episode besides just her shirt.
Okay, right. So, well, like, what did you see?
Well, I feel like in this episode she's finally accepted that she's not going to be with Ray, which I think is, you know, I think it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice for her to have a little bit more stable relationship, or maybe a lot more stable relationship. She knows that, but she's still giving it up for Oliver. And she knows Oliver's not going to be safe. I mean, she knows when she's talking to Ray, she knows that he's going to probably his, not doom, but his ultimate destiny, whatever that may be. Right. But then, you know, by the end, she's also sacrificing her time with Oliver. You know, she'd given it a couple days. She still could have hung with Ray, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. The heart wants what the heart wants.
Right.
And
right.
That was also, I think, part of this, Ra's al Ghul was basically the one who said, you know, you need to go get with that. I mean, in a real nice sort of...
In a cool accent.
In a cool accent, in a very, you know, 17th century kind of way.
Miss Smoke, you need to go and get with that. I would have been a perfect time for a good Ra's al Ghul imitation. Oh, well. Well, she took his advice, but seemed to work. But he did have a point. I mean, and she sort of realized at that point, wow, I don't know if there's anything I can do to help Oliver here. Not that she didn't try later on, but, you know, she right. she took Ra's al Ghul's advice. It was like, you know, late night with Ra's al Ghul or after hours or I don't know. What are those radio talk shows called, you know, where you call in and...
Right. Dr. Drew and Ra's al Ghul. You're on the phone.
Love line with Dr. Drew and Ra's al Ghul. Hey, Raish, call me Ra's, please. All right.
So let's look at it this way for a second. Imagine that Ra's al Ghul is actually just testing Oliver for whatever reason. What he's basically doing is he's pushing everybody on Team Arrow to their extreme. He pushed Roy. God, that's so confusing to have a Ray and a Roy. He pushed Roy to, you know, get to a point where he, you know, he would sacrifice himself for the good of the team. He's pushed Diggle to the point where I think Diggle just wants to put a bullet in the guy's brain. But he's pushed Felicity to this point where she will admit her true feelings finally. She hasn't been able to do that all season, and now she does that. So I think what this may end up doing for Oliver is, you know, this is basically this last act of passion that he gets from Felicity. What they've kind of been tiptoeing around, you know, the entire, well, for maybe like two seasons here, really. Maybe at some point Oliver will realize what Felicity was offering him, you know, just in terms of her love and the sacrifice that she was putting into this, so that maybe that'll help Oliver, you know, understand what he needs to do, where his head's at, what his identity is, or something like that. I don't know. There's definitely a lot of stuff going on with that. So,
I don't know. Well, I know he got Oliver that night, but anyway. I kind of felt sorry for Felicity. By the end, I think she had really kind of given up. When she went to go talk to Laurel, I felt like she had really felt like she had lost kind of everything that she was fighting for. I mean, she certainly hasn't lost everything. She's still got people, but when you lose that love, when you lose who you think you're meant for, mm-hmm. that's a huge deal. So, you know, she's still got it better than Oliver, it seems like, but she's lost a lot.
Right, and she came out scrapping it at Ra's there as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, that will... I won't say proving, but giving strong evidence to show, you know what, Felicity's really the leader of this team.
Yeah.
I mean, geez. Who goes and yells at Ra's al Ghul, especially when you know what he's capable of?
I thought he took it really cool, you know?
Yes, so did I. He gets people, you know? That's why he has that second job with Dr. Drew. But in addition to that, number one, at the beginning, she said, no, I'm going with you. We're going. Oh, and I'll arrange some transportation. Don't worry about that. It's taken care of. I got a travel agent. And, you know, I mean, she also came up with this plan to drug Oliver, you know, granted it wasn't a very well thought out plan, but,
no,
you know, she takes charge on this team. This entire season, she has really been the one to listen to. Even when Oliver is being stubborn, even when Oliver is doing all the things that make him not so smart when it comes to being the Arrow or being Oliver. That's his fatal flaw, yeah. Really. You know, I mean, just
he puts on the gravelly voice and starts brooding.
Yes, yes. And when it comes to family, he has this stubborn streak that really is his fatal flaw. Like, is it really better? I mean, I guess we can talk about this later on, but was it really better for him to do this for Thea? Or is it going to end up making her worse?
Making Thea worse.
Yeah, it's like Pet Cemetery, you know? That's
what I was exactly thinking of. The vibe I got. Right. So for those of you who are not familiar, there's a Stephen King book called Pet Sematary, and you can bury your dead pet in there and they come back to life. But the problem is that anything you bury, it does not come back the same way that, you know, it's not reanimated in the exact same way that it was when it was alive. So,
no.
Thea, I mean, while we're mentioning Thea, she, you know, she gave up, she had the ultimate sacrifice, right? She gave up her life for this. But I think there's even more coming for her. I'm just wondering, because I think it was Maceo said that Malcolm said that the waters would change the person, you know, in their soul. So I'm just wondering, you know, what else, where they may go with this character. Like, it's a great chance to kind of use her as an antagonist again in the group, or against the group, I guess.
Yep. Or at least give her some abilities that will help her become Speedy or whatever they have planned for her.
Right.
They could go either way with that. You know, this might be a good time to talk about kind of Thea as far as eventually wherever they end up going with the series and Oliver hopefully becoming Arrow again. It seems as if maybe they could use her attack, you know, the attack that from Ra's al Ghul on her, because she was in the hospital, and I'm sure that would be public knowledge. I mean, Thea Queen, daughter of Millionaire Moira Queen, who recently died, you know, that's going to be public knowledge. Oliver might be able to use that to his advantage to reintegrate the Arrow in the future. I'm just thinking, you know, how could he do that? You could say, you know, people were attacked his sister because, you know, he was outed as the Arrow, or I don't know. I was just thinking of different ways they could probably that idea for him to come back. Because eventually, you know, we're hoping he comes back as the Arrow, right? I mean, that's what the character is. That's what it comes from the comics, you know, Green Arrow. Yeah. So I'm hoping he gets the chance to come back and be Arrow again. But I don't know. I was just, if they want me to sit down with them, brainstorm some plans, that's cool. You know, just give me a call. You can send Ray's plane. I'll come up there and come up with some ideas. We can use Thea, man. We can use her.
Yeah, that sounds good. And maybe next season on Legends of Arrow, they will decide what they're going to do. So let's see. There was one other thing that I wanted. Oh, yeah. This is the thing I wanted. Two things I want to talk about. One, just kind of as an aside here. Uh-huh. You know, we talked about, we kind of realized at the beginning of this season, they changed the title card for season three, right? We hadn't noticed that season one and season two were slightly different title cards because they were very similar. Season three here has been very, very different. And we're like, well, we couldn't really figure out what it was. It was a fancy arrowhead of some kind. Well, in this episode, we find out it's the branding iron that the league uses to indoctrinate their, or to welcome in their new recruits, I guess.
Yeah. As soon as that mysterious woman pulled that right out of the fire, I recognized it right away.
Yep. And I feel like she's got, like, there's something else important about her, but she may just be this kind of, she's listed as, I think, priestess. I was kind of wondering, oh, maybe that's Nyssa's mom, like Mrs. Al Ghul.
Mrs. Al Ghul.
Yeah.
So she was older. So I don't think it could be like you know, his original wife or anything like that. But
right.
Yeah. Maybe right. That would be Mrs. Al Ghul.
The thing that I found interesting was that Oliver keeps getting asked by Ra's al Ghul to take over as Ra's al Ghul. Right. I mean, it's like I kept getting the idea that when Oliver says yes, then Ra's al Ghul is going to be like, oh, good. Finally, you accepted. All right. So I'm going to step down now, and congratulations on leading the League of Assassins. That was just kind of how I pictured it in my head. you know.
Does he get, they give him a watch, and then he just is done? Is that?
I got this gold watch. But in this episode, Maceo says that he should accept his place as heir to the demon. Which is, and Oliver calls himself Warith Al Ghul, which I'm assuming heir is Warith. That's, okay, so he's really second in command, basically replacing Nyssa. So he's going to work for some time as heir to the demon until Roz decides it's time to retire. Like, I thought the whole point of this was that Roz was retiring now. But maybe it's just that he is planning, you know, he knows at some point he's going to retire. And so he wanted to get Oliver, you know, into the corporation here so that he could train him.
He's got to train him. He can't just be instantly, you know, Ra's al Ghul. He's got to learn the ins and outs. You know, it's like when Brian Dennehy, you know, brought Tommy Boy in and he was going to train him to run the company. You know, but he couldn't just run the company right away. You know, he's been off doing his own thing. You know, he's got to show him where all the secret passages are and you know the catacombs, right, and the special lounge for administration. You know, you don't just have every assassin in the league using the special lounge, and you needs to give the executive restroom key, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But in all seriousness, I mean, you know, yeah, he does have to kind of teach him the ways of the league. I think Oliver has some sort of knowledge. We still don't really know how, but of what the league's all about and what they do. But he probably doesn't know everything. He's got to be his mentor and his evil Yoda or something.
Yeah. I cannot believe that you just used Tommy Boy to explain a point on our Arrow podcast. I really thought better of you.
Well, you know, you gotta pick from a variety so people can understand in different ways.
Oh, I understand. Yeah, I completely understand. All right.
Hey, well, at least it wasn't Chris Farley, you know, playing Oliver Queen. That's
I have failed this city.
All right, I'm sorry. I apologize for taking us down the Tommy Boy path.
That's okay. So we've got about 30 seconds left here. So flashbacks.
Flashbacks.
Knock it off.
Yes.
Oh. Look,
if you don't have what you need to make beefy flashbacks, it's okay to leave them out. It's okay. They really actually took away from this episode, I think.
I feel this was a much stronger, a way stronger episode than last week's. You know, I think we were both discussing the fact that last week's episode was started dark, went really light in the middle, went dark at the end, and was just uneven. And this episode was great, and I think you just cut those flashbacks out, and it's fine. I am almost to the point where I feel like the producers are beholden to the flashbacks now. Like, well, this is our format, and we need to stick with the format. And I don't know. I mean, there have been a few flashback episodes that have been interesting enough, but I would say since mid-season, kind of when Tatsu and Oliver go to the docks, that's kind of the flashback that I'm thinking about. From there on, it's been kind of just blah.
Yeah, I almost feel like they filmed all the flashback episodes, or, you know, the flashback scenes when they were filming them, and then they ended up like not having enough of them to spread out over a season, so they're cutting them really short and just kind of tossing them in there.
That might be possible. From a production standpoint, I would not think that would be how they do that. I think.
I'm sure that's not why, but it's just what it feels like.
Right. No, I agree. I think that is problematic.
I did try to connect it, you know, and we talked about personal sacrifices and what you have to give up for either the greater good or your family's good or whatever it is you're sacrificing. And I do feel like Oliver and Maseo and Tatsu are willing to sacrifice themselves to save Hong Kong and, you know, to stop the bioweapon from General
Shreve,
right? Thank you, yeah. General Beastmaster. And you know, so I mean, they are showing some sacrifice in there.
Now,
but that was really the only connection I could get.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't there only enough vaccine to inoculate Tatsu, Maseo, and Akio, and Oliver did not want the vaccine?
There was enough for all 4 of them, but he gave it to that old woman or something, didn't he? The woman that was
that was taking care of Akio.
Yeah.
Right. So, again, like, how do they get Oliver out of this? I mean, the bioweapons, he drops it, what, within feet of himself.
Now, I was a little, I don't know, maybe we don't even want to spend the time analyzing this, but
yeah,
they were getting ready
get into this, but
they were getting ready to put it into the food cart, right?
Right.
So to me, it felt like, oh, that's how they're going to spread it somehow. Like the, it'll be in the food and then people transfer it to each other. I didn't really know what the point of it. Why would they just put it in the food cart if you could just drop it in the first place?
Oliver seemed really shocked that it got dropped because it was kind of smoking or steaming or whatever when it
came out. Like, well, here, since I did the Tommy Boy, it looked like Austin Powers' mojo, you know, just kind of steaming away. Okay, I'm sorry. I'll stop.
No, Austin Powers is totally applicable and
oh, fine. That's okay.
Yeah. I've got really strange rules here, so.
Right. You could be Ra's al Ghul. Look at that. You got your rules. Just don't always
they don't
apply.
Make any
they
sense
don't fit.
Either. few references, not a lot because they were obviously very worked up in the emotionality of the storyline and stuff like this. But the purple smoke was back. We last saw that in The Magician when Thea was kidnapped by the League. Basically in that episode, the smoke meant, hey dude, we've got your daughter. And in this episode, the purple smoke meant, whoa, Oliver, you are out of options. So somehow they all know that.
Is that a different shade of purple, or how do they work that?
It was a whiter shade of purple,
oh, okay.
I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
I just thought it meant there was a new pope that got elected, I guess.
I don't think that's purple smoke.
No, not purple smoke?
No.
Okay.
That's unless it's a really stylish pope. I don't know. I hope I didn't just offend all of our Catholic listeners. Now I've done Tommy Boy Austin Powers, and now I've offended all the Catholic listeners.
It was the Catholic formerly known as the Pope. See what I did there? The purple and the and stuff like that. All right. Raish gives a nice I just thought I'd throw that in there just to mix it up a little bit. Gives a nice explanation of the definition of assassin, which has been muddied and sullied and basically, you know, destroyed by society. And what it really
misinterpreted
meant,
now.
Yeah, yeah. And what it really meant was someone who stands apart from society, he says. In looking up the word that he uses, because it comes from the it assassin does derivate from the Arabic word hashishia or hashishia. I think I said it the same both times there. yeah, thank you. It's probably more accurately translates as a user of hashish, which is, for those that don't know hashish, it's not necessarily marijuana, but it is the stems and buds of a Indian plant, Eastern Indian, not Native American.
Doesn't happen to generate purple smoke when you smoke it, does it?
You know, I don't know. That's I don't think so.
Oh,
but
okay.
Interesting. No, that's an interesting correlation there. Definitely could. Mm. And then the last two things I saw, this is just kind of a vibe that I got from the episode. So tell me if you got this. When the Oliver and company bring Thea's body to the League and they meet them kind of in the little valley where all the League has come out to, hey, greet them as they knew he was coming. Mm-hmm. I got a really Raiders of the Lost Ark vibe with all the torches and everybody lined up kind of like the Nazis did at when they were going to open the Ark.
Interesting. Yeah. Oh, now that you say that, I can totally see that. They had the banners and the,
yes.
and the torches and all that. Yeah.
Yes. And then when we went into the temple and the priestess was doing the ritual, I got a real Temple of Doom feeling as they lower Thea into the water pit.
Ooh, she's in the white like dress. The scene where they were after they took the heart out of the guy. Oh,
yeah.
I guess and also
and when they lower
Willie
into the fire into the lava area.
Interesting. Oh gosh, yeah. Geez, how did I miss those? I should have totally felt. It's been too long since I watched Raiders.
And then when Oliver punched at the guy and said, no ticket, it really reminded me of Last Crusade. Now, I couldn't see anything really that was Last Crusade-like here, but a lot of Indiana Jones style I think, coming into this. So what is it? Antonio? What's the director's name here? Antonio Negrete. Very nice job with the look of this episode. You know, very dark, but well done.
Cool.
All right. We cover everything you wanted to touch on. Anything else that jumps out at you that you want to
mention? There was a lot of little stuff in this. But, no, yeah, I think we did pretty good. I want to congratulate Diggle on becoming a very, very good family therapist. He does a good job giving people advice now. I mean, they'll just pull you aside and give you the talk.
Yeah, definitely. And, yeah, David Ramsey just – He's good at playing that without being too, I guess, over the top.
Yeah, yeah.
He's very grounded with the way.
I mean that too. I mean, I really mean. I like. They've given him so much more to do this season than they did last season, and I appreciate that because I really like the actor. I really like the character.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So good job on him.
All right. Well, I guess that wraps it up for yet another week of Green Justice, and we will be back next week with the 21st episode. We're down to the last three episodes for season three here. So, Josh, I'm looking forward to talking about this. It just seems to be getting more exciting each week.
Yeah, for sure. And I had a great time talking with you. We hope you guys had a great time listening. So, you know what? If you could go over to iTunes – just right now, you're listening on your little smartphone. Go over to iTunes, give us some feedback. We'd love to see some lots of stars and some good written feedback, too. Or, you know, if you want to just talk to us, you can also email us at greenjustice@randomchatter.com. Or you can get on our Twitter feed, @greenjusticepod. And you can also like our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/greenjusticepodcast.
And you can also check out the other podcasts Josh and I host, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, which this week we have a really fun interview with Mark Hamill, who played the Trickster on a recent episode. So why don't you just do a quick search for Scarlet Velocity, or you can find it at randomchatter.com. All shows also available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And, of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to let your friends know about us or tell your comic shop proprietor that you want him to play these episodes over the PA system when you're in the store.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah. Mine just plays, old Motown stuff, so which is cool. They play music that really kind of makes you dance, and the comic store makes you want to buy stuff, you know? I think it just helps out the overall mood. And remember, if you guys don't keep listening, you have failed the city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.